Oh, Greystown. Hello, everyone. This is the Final Play podcast.
In the same room.
For the first time.
For the first time ever.
The first pod ever. Not the first time. We've been in plenty of rooms together. That's a whole different story.
Oh, yeah, that's but a different
this
story.
Is, that's a yeah, completely different story. So this is week 16 of the NFL. We'll go through the NFL scores. Guests sort of talk about the division. Well, some teams that have already capped the division, and little bits of news.
Saturday games, which was well, yeah, yeah, which was different.
So there was no Thursday night games. So the three Saturday games: the Texans beat the Buccaneers 23-20. Pats beat the Bills 24-17 and clinched their division with that win.
Again.
For the 11th time, I think that was. the 49ers beat the Rams 34-31. That was too close for what I thought it should have been. The Falcons beating the Jaguars 24-12. The Ravens beating the Browns 31-15. The Saints beating the Titans 38-28. The Colts beating the Panthers 38-6. Oh, blowout. OT win for the Dolphins beating the Bengals 38-35.
Oh, God.
Dolphins don't even care about a number one pick.
No, so clearly they don't. Stop winning.
The Jets beating the Steelers 16-10. Another toilet bowl game. The Giants in OT beating the Redskins 41-35.
Toilet bowl's the best.
The Broncos beating the Lions 27-17. And there's something wrong with the Lions. I think I want to talk about that.
Oh later. My God, there's something up there.
Raiders beating the Chargers 24-17. The Eagles, yes, beating the Cowboys 17-9. Probably clinched that division, but. The Cardinals beating the Seahawks 27-13.
That was the shocker for me for the week.
Oh, easily. The Chiefs beat the Bears 26-3. And the Monday night game, it could have went either way, but I thought the Vikings were going to win before coming into it, but the Packers won 23-10. We'll start with a shocking game. Yeah, it was... Kyler Murray's had a good season this year. I like, you know, he hasn't
been bad.
He hasn't been, for his first season, hasn't been bad. So no, they're 5-9.
He can't be protected either. Like that's the problem as well. He's scampering for his life out of the pocket all the time. He's not got a lot of running back help at the moment until they traded for Kenyon Drake, who has been just like in the last couple of weeks has been on fire. Like David Johnson, who the hell's that guy?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Kenyon Drake, he's the go-to guy at the moment. It's crazy what the numbers that he's putting up at the moment is ridiculous.
Yeah, 166 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Again.
But, is that, I guess that pretty much effective.
He's got 6 touchdowns in the last 2
weeks. Effectively, to me, obviously, that rules out Russell Wilson for MVP.
I think so. It's Lamar Jackson's
pretty
to lose.
Pretty much a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, it's Lamar Jackson's to lose.
Yeah.
Like you said, it was a bit of a that was a very sort of shocking game to see the result of. It's just like, all right, cool. The only thing that is now to the detriment of the Cardinals is Kyler Murray went off with a hamstring injury.
Yeah,
clutched at it straight away as soon as he got run out of bounds, I think, and clutched at the hamstring straight away. So that's not terrific for the Cardinals, who, yeah, like you said, you know, sprung that. What's happened to Seattle at home? That's their third loss this season. Like that used to be that you couldn't beat
Seattle
up there, and now that's three losses in Seattle now,
and. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
they're decimated at running back at the moment. Like they're on their fourth string running back at the moment. You know, Rashad Penny got hurt the week before. Chris Carson got hurt this week. So they're on, and we'll talk about it later with the signing that they've had. But
they are. You're right. They are. I suppose they are depleted pretty bad. The Seahawks, but I mean they are. Well, they are 11-4, so they're not.
No, it's not hurting them that much, but it's
overtly doing too bad. But
what's going to happen come playoffs? If they can't clinch a number one or number two seed, which they probably can't,
it's not even a foregone conclusion that they'll make the playoffs. They're not going to... Well, they can't... I think the 49ers... Well, I suppose there's still one more week. I think the 49ers will clinch that NFC West.
But... No, well, that's right. There's a lot of scenarios that are going to come out now that could affect the one through three seed anyway for the NFC, because there's only one game that's going to affect the four seed, and that's Philadelphia wins, they get the four seed. They clinch the NFC East.
Yeah, which is just they'll probably clinch it either 8-8 or 9-7, which is pretty ridiculous.
Toilet bowl division. Good God.
Yeah,
The NFC East has just been horrendous this year.
That game, the Cowboys and Eagles game, it wasn't... I did, unfortunately, watch that game. It wasn't the prettiest game to watch.
We've talked about it before. We may as well go into that game. We've talked about it before. Like, okay, they only got 3 field goals, but... Amari Cooper wasn't really featured again.
Mm.
Ezekiel Elliott only had 13 rushes for 47 yards. But he had 7 receptions, but he only got 37 yards out of those. Like, I don't understand why, and a lot of people on certain platforms have said, Dak was hurt most of the week, limited practice, sometimes no practice. But then you come into a game like that and you make him throw 44 times.
Yeah, that's exactly why. Right.
Just run Elliott 25 times. Like, you have to help. You have to help Dak Prescott. He's got a throwing shoulder issue.
And you've got...
Don't make him throw 44 times.
You've got Tony Pollard there, so he can even if you don't get Zeke running like 20 times, Tony Pollard can run the ball.
Yeah, but it's play design as well. Like, that's the game plan you've got to go in there with. And then if that's not working... Okay, then we might have to try and open up the field and use Randall Cobb, Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, who you traded a first round pick for, but you're not making a feature of him in the passing offense.
Well, look what happened in that game. That their biggest win game this year was against the Rams, because their two best running backs, Pollard and Zeke, both got over 100 yards. So with the Eagles, I will say that Miles Sanders, I like the way he plays.
He was great. Like, he didn't get a lot of yards. He only had 79 yards, 20 rushes. But
I like the way he plays.
And the problem is, like, man, the Eagles now as well they're so injury depleted at receiver.
Yeah.
So, and Zach Ertz got hurt in that game as well. But he hasn't been the flavor of the year really in Philadelphia. Like, Dallas got it.
Yeah.
Has been, he got 9 catches for 91 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get where the disconnect has come between Ertz and Carson Wentz this year. Like, he hasn't been super featured. The thing was, like, one of the pivotal points was that Tony Pollard fumble.
Yeah.
That hurt the Cowboys a lot. They were on a bit of a roll. That happens. They lose all the momentum. Wentz was pretty good. What was he? 31 for 40. 319 yards.
Yeah.
And you're still getting 319 passing yards, passing to, guys that aren't your number one and number two receivers.
Well, Miles Sanders, he was the other one. He got five catches for 77 yards.
Yeah.
So, I guess in Philadelphia sort of standard, that's pretty good for Philly. That they are injury depleted, but
they're still winning. They're doing what they need to do to win.
Yeah,
and I mean, that's all you can do.
Anybody that going off this year, anybody that wins the NFC East is gonna, they'll lose first round.
They probably are, because the two teams that are in the run for the wild card are gonna have 3, if not 4, wins better than what they are.
That's exactly right.
So even though they're gonna host that playoff game, but that could be. Yeah, that could be a big bounce in the first week of the playoffs in the wild card round,
and it would not surprise me. And it shouldn't really surprise any. It shouldn't really surprise anyone else.
Oh,
if the Cowboys somehow sneak in, which is looking unlikely at the moment. I mean, next week they have the Redskins, which should be should be a win, but then the
The Eagles have the Giants, so they're going to have to win, and the Giants so the Giants have to win at least for them to sort of
to make it. Yeah, that's right.
So which I don't see I don't see it happening.
None of those games are a given.
No.
Washington is playing a little better. You know, Haskins is sort of getting a feel for things.
Yeah.
He's got Tony McLaurin there, you know, the rookie receiver. He's got a fairly dependable running back. You know, Adrian Peterson doesn't get those huge running yards like he used to, but at least he's sort of a dependable. Well, you can't depend on Darius Geis. Like, he came back from injury and then he was gone the next week, or the next 2 weeks. So that's not a good start to his career, that he's been so injured so early in his career and he can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Like, that's bad.
Yeah.
You know, he's a young guy. They've probably got, you know, they've got Adrian Peterson there. You know, Adrian Peterson was with the Saints early last year. And I think he only played about three games at the Saints. And then they picked the Redskins picked him up. So they're trying to transition from old to new. Mm-hmm. And they Darius Geis can't stay healthy. Like, that's not good. That's not good at all. Wow, yeah, they could be. Obviously, they're in the running. They don't need a quarterback. They're going to be a very high draft pick. Do they want to take a shot on another running back who could actually stay healthy,
or a receiver that they could actually trade?
Well, to me, Tony McLaurin's not awful.
No, yeah,
it could be a bit of both. Like, Haskins just can't find him.
Well, it could be so, or he needs a protection too. It could be that.
That's what we're talking about before. All about protection. You give a good rookie decent protection, and if we want to go to another toilet bowl game in the Giants and the Redskins, then Daniel Jones passed for five touchdowns. that's the thing. It's the second time,
Mister. Yeah,
it's the second time since 1950 that a rookie quarterback has passed for five touchdowns and thrown for 300-plus yards. You know who the other one was? Matt Stafford.
Really?
Yeah. Since 1950. All of those, you know, all those rookie quarterbacks, especially lately, like rookie quarterbacks. It's a different era now that rookie quarterbacks are playing and playing a lot.
Yeah.
But, Matt Stafford was the last one. So I thought that was sort of an interesting... interesting stat to sort of bring up, but Daniel Jones has got decent people to sort of throw to. That's doesn't have Evan Ingram.
That's right.
But he's still got decent receivers. Like, they didn't even feature Darius Slayton.
No, and Golden,
this week
Golden Tate.
I've
loved the way he had a really good game. He got he didn't get a touchdown, but he got 96 yards for only six carries. I do love the way he's playing, but I mean, to me, that game was all about Saquon Barkley. Nearly 200 yards.
Oh my god!
That was,
you had him fantasy last week. Holy moly!
I think he got in a standard league. I think he got like 50 points in a standard league, because he also got a. Didn't he get a receiving touchdown?
Yep. Four for 90, one receiving touchdown. The longest pass he caught was 51 yards. 22 for 189 on the ground, a touchdown, and his longest run was 67 yards. Oh, man. But Jones wasn't uber accurate, like 28 for 42.
Yeah.
So, you know, but 350-plus yards, the thing that sort of, you know, Haskins got hurt late, like he rolled his left ankle. Not late. You know, in the second half. So I had to bring Case Keenum back in,
and he came on. He played pretty good.
He's looking better.
Yeah,
I think he's looking a little bit more comfortable. He's probably got a little bit more confidence instead of just being thrown in there in the second half, and he's looking awful, throwing interceptions everywhere.
Yeah.
But you know, Keenum had to come in. Now, Haskins was looking okay. He was 12 for 15 and threw two touchdowns.
Yeah,
he was looking okay. And then Keenum come in, like, he wasn't insane. You know, he was 16 for 22, but he was the one that got the last rushing touchdown to force overtime.
Yeah.
And then the Giants didn't even give him a sniff.
No.
They just marched down the field, got the TD in overtime.
And that was game over. Yeah, game over. So what the hell is happening with the Lions? I mean, it's not so much...
I don't know.
It's, so it's injuries, but oh man, well, is it just?
Is it? Because
they don't have a quality backup.
They don't.
As well.
They don't. Exactly right. They don't have a quality. I mean,
is it, all their eggs are in. All their eggs are in the Matt Stafford basket.
That David Blough or Bluff? Or...
Oh, I don't know how you want to pronounce it. Blough, Bluff.
He probably does.
Blow. Yeah, I think he blows.
So 12 for 24, only for 117 yards.
Yeah, that's just not going to get it done.
They, you know, Kenny Golladay is still playing well there, but I just don't...
Marvin Jones, it's not as if they've got average receivers.
I think you're right. I think just quickly looking at that one, I think they're throwing all their eggs, unfortunately, to Matt Stafford's basket, or all their eggs are in Matt Stafford's basket, which is now that puts them at 3-11, possibly the number 3 pick.
No, well, that's right.
Oh. You're right. You said it before, but they're not going to go quarterback.
They're not going to go quarterback, but they've also got a pretty good running back there in Kerryon Johnson. Like, he came back from injury, but geez, he was ineffective. Like, 10 for 42 on the ground. Like, that's... Oof.
So
he's come back from injury, so I don't think he can look too much into that, especially when... When he's healthy, he's a good running back.
Yeah.
So
they need help on the defense. That's pretty much.
No, all that too. Plus, the only reason it's sort of not so much it was a close game, but they had that punt return from Jamal Agnew.
Yeah.
As well, like a punt return touchdown. So that was kind of the only real highlight for the Lions. Philip Lindsay's been. Yeah. A little inconsistent this year.
He played good in that game.
Drew Locke. Drew Locke, he just keeps winning.
Don't you love when those long returns?
That's what I mean. I don't know why they want to try and take that out of that element out of the game. It's so good.
The crowd loves it because it's like when...
Everybody goes apeshit.
Well, look at rugby league. Rugby league's a perfect example. When you see like your fullback or your wingers get the ball on broken play at the back.
Long range tries.
Everybody goes ballistic.
It's awesome.
When they're running 100 yards or something in 5 seconds. It's awesome when the NFL, because there's 1,000 blocks everywhere.
No, exactly. Everyone can just poleaxe wherever they want.
It's a poleaxe. I'd love to be not the punt returner. I'd love to be the person where you just get to beat the shit out of someone.
You just get to hammer people. Yeah, they don't even have to be anywhere near the ball. You just smash people.
I mean, the returner's just got to make sure he looks for it, but... Yeah, you just have to literally smash someone. And I mean smash.
Exactly. They don't miss. They sure as hell don't miss.
I'm over talking about taller balls.
The only thing I sort of want to say about that Miami Bengals game, geez, Miami gave them every opportunity to win that game.
Correct.
Miami were up 35-19. And they outscored... they outscored Miami 23-7 in the final quarter to force overtime. And both quarterbacks were pretty good. Dalton was 56 times Andy Dalton's throwing. He threw for 4 touchdowns and only 400 yards. And Fitzmagic did throw for 4, threw for 4 touchdowns. Okay, fair enough, he threw for an interception. But he had 419 yards.
Yeah.
Like, that's just an offensive display right there.
And Devontae Parker. I end up putting him right. That was the only way. And I was close to winning that fantasy squad because he was in there. It was against the Bengals.
That's the only reason you put him in there, because you knew it was against the Bengals.
That's exactly the reason I put him in there. But so speaking of Dalton, 33 of 56 part.
But that's Andy Dalton this year.
What do the Bengals do? I know we'll touch on draft picks and all that later, but I'm just signaling teams out, like your 1-14 Bengals, who most likely will get the number one pick now.
They've already shorted up.
Is Andy Dalton then gone? It's just foregone. They'll go a quarterback, most likely Joe Burrow. But Joe Mixon, Tyler Boyd, so they're still playing all right.
No, that's right. And they've shut AJ Green down for the season.
Yeah,
what's he going to be like? Is he going to stay?
No.
If Andy Dalton stays?
I'll touch on that later.
If they have a young quarterback, is he going to stay anyway? He could certainly be a difference maker on another team.
I found some news for that. I'll touch on AJ Green later. I don't think he's staying at the Bengals, but we'll talk about
that one later. And yeah, so Miami moved to 4-11 and probably the fifth draft pick now there. And then so they'll
What they were hoping for at the start of the season.
Well, they'll probably be 5th and 10th. I mean, oh, they've got the Pittsburgh number one. Who's the other number one they got? Houston.
Yeah, they got Texans. They got a one from Houston.
So yeah, no, they were
plus hoping, their own. They'll have three. They'll have three first rounders next year.
Yeah, and
theirs will be high, and the other ones won't be that great. And but I don't. It's know the NFL why. Draft. You can still pick up good. You can still pick up good players at the back end of the first round.
So
depends on what you're after.
So do they go after a quarterback?
That's another thing we were saying before. Like, you know, okay, Fitzmagic. You can't call him anything but Fitzmagic. Yeah, is he a good bridge quarterback? What does that mean? You know, in regards to they got Josh Rosen sitting on the bench. And that's the thing. Obviously, Fitzpatrick is the wily veteran. He can, you know, he can get out of jams that rookies just can't. So yeah. You know, Fitzpatrick is looking okay. But if you can get adequate protection, nobody knows what Josh Rosen can do because he was at Arizona. They were terrible. He's at Miami. They're terrible. Nobody knows what he can do. They traded a second round pick for him.
Yeah.
No, so you're right. I don't know. Yeah, Josh Rosen's just in this purgatory of what the hell happens to him.
Well, he started the season. So either he's injured or something's up with him.
It's either that, or they just didn't want to beat, you know, just have him just completely beaten to oblivion.
Yeah,
his confidence just be completely crushed, like 2 years of just being hammered.
I don't know who though. I mean, I think obviously two first round picks. They'll pick a defensive player, but I don't think in a fifth pick. I don't think. I'd be surprised if they get a quarterback, if they go for a quarterback, and if they do, I don't think you'll like who it is. But anyway, I don't know who it's going to be.
It's not going to be Joe Burrow because he's going to be gone.
No, he's going to be gone. He's definitely going to be gone.
But well, they could throw one out and pick Justin Herbert, but it's going to be Tua.
If they finish five, I just have a sneaky feeling
it's going to be Tua.
Any scenario, do you see Bengals taking two first round picks from Miami to move up to like a number one or number two? Or take the Bengals?
Maybe.
So, it's not out of the realm.
Ryan Finley's clearly not the answer in Cincinnati. So whether they're just going to ride again with Andy Dalton, and you know, have a high end young draft pick behind them, but you're not going to draft him to sit behind Andy Dalton. You're going to draft him to start.
Yeah, well, that's right.
I think it's like Daniel Jones. Like, they weren't going to have him sit behind Eli Manning for too long.
No.
The only reason Eli got back in the last couple of weeks because Daniel Jones is hurt. Have a look what Daniel Jones lights up again. You know, against a dumpster of a team, but you know, still, all you can do is play who's in front of you.
Did you think I wasn't saying an easy win, but did you think the Saints had win pretty easily against the Titans?
Oh no, I thought that was going to be a scrap.
Yeah,
in Tennessee, yeah. I thought that was going to be a scrap, and in the first quarter, the Saints were down 14-0.
Yeah,
and they ended up clawing their way back. You know, see, the Titans aren't a pushover.
No. They seem to. I don't know. I guess they locked down Tennessee's running game because they've been built.
No, well, that's right. They really shut
Derrick
Henry down, which has been hard to do this whole season, and especially lately. He's just been on an absolute tear. But the good thing for the Saints is a coming back to form as such of Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
That was his first touchdown since week 3.
Really? He scored two. Yeah.
But that's the scary part, and you sort of don't think of that. Like, week 3 was his last TD. So that's a timely, you know, not so much come back to form, but you know, that's a good thing for New Orleans to have him going into into the playoffs and being in good form. That's definitely a key ingredient.
Michael Thomas doing Michael Thomas
things. Well, so you know, Thomas just, yeah, he just does, you know, he just does, just does what he does. He just does what he does, you know. He just makes, you know, he just makes catches. He's got 145 now for the season, overtakes Marvin Harris of the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
143 was the previous record. I thought he might have waited until next week against the Panthers to do it, but clearly he didn't want to wait that long. And he caught the game-clinching touchdown as well. You know, they were only up three with about four. They were only up three with about 4 minutes to go. CJ Gardner hit what's his name, Caleb Raymond, smashed him, and had a fumble recovery, and that set up the touchdown for Thomas at the end there to seal the game.
But they had to, they came back from 14 points, didn't they?
That's right. That's what I mean. Yeah, they're 14 right. Zip down to start. Yeah, yeah. So, and they, I was watching. I watched pretty much the first half, and they looked ordinary.
Yeah.
And that's it. Would come playoffs, and you know Tennessee are an almost playoff type team, but if they can score a bye, and avoid playing in wildcard round, how hard is it going to be for them to come back from 14 zip down?
Yeah, exactly.
In the playoffs, like that's tough going, you know. And they've been defensively challenged now for a few weeks, really defensively challenged.
Are they any chance of getting the number one NFC spot?
I think they have. I think the Niners and the Packers.
And the Packers, yeah.
Do they play each other next week?
The Niners and the Packers.
Yeah, I know the Niners definitely have to lose.
I think Niners play the Rams.
Well, we can't really count on that then, can we?
No. So the Niners play the Rams. Yep. The Niners.
So the Niners and the Packers both have to lose, and the Saints have to beat Carolina, and they'll get the one seed.
Sorry. They played the Rams this week. Niners play the Seahawks. That's a Monday night game. Ooh.
Right.
Ooh, that, yeah. That's
so crazy. Even if Seattle wins that, the Saints have got the tiebreaker over them because they beat them in Seattle. So mm-hmm. that would, you know, the Niners have to lose there, and then the Saints would get the number one spot.
The Saints would get the number one spot. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's how it works. There's a few scenarios out there, but that's how they'll get a number one spot and secure home field throughout the playoffs, which didn't really help them last year, but anyway.
No, that's a whole different story.
Well, you know.
And then I'm assuming them Patriots look like going off this, that they're locked for the number one AFC spot.
Well, it'd be them and Baltimore. Baltimore's locked up the number one seed and home field advantage all the way through, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And then Patriots will be number two. So if the one and two seeds end up going through, then the road will go through Baltimore. And they didn't look that great in Baltimore this year, so whether Bill Belichick can plan for that, you know, although the Pats weren't overly dominant, and the Bills had the chance
at the end to get the W.
Yeah. So,
I still like the Bills. I think they've had a banger season.
No,
The
re-emergence for the Pats of their run game is a recipe for success.
Yeah.
Like Sony Michel, like he only had 96 yards of 21 rushes, but that's...
No, it's awesome,
that's
but,
what they need.
But he's too inconsistent. Like, he hasn't done that.
No.
This year.
No, but at all. That's what I mean. The re-emergence of their run game is going to help Brady. Like, Brady had... Where have I got it here? Yeah, 26 to 33, but he threw to 9 different receivers.
Yeah.
Like he had catches to 9 different receivers, and that, you know, just sort of spreading the love around a little bit. But, I think that's going to be... They've got to go run heavy. I don't see them doing a whole lot, you know, against the top, you know. You got to say against Baltimore.
Yeah.
That's what it's all being...
Well, they're going to have to. Only way they're going to win is if they can shut down Lamar Jackson, which their defense is really good.
Good
but,
luck.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Well, that's exactly that was my next thing. Yeah,
good luck. Nobody else has been able to do it yet.
No, but this is the Patriots. So
true.
The Patriots do sort of sometimes turn it on in playoff games, and that's just that's just Patriots generally. Any other games you want to
see? Well, San Francisco, you know, on the Saturday, that was the Saturday night game.
Yeah.
We're kind of lucky, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, Greg Zuerlein, who's been very reliable for the Rams since he's been there, he missed a pretty easy sort of field goal. It was only a 33-yarder.
Yeah.
He missed a field goal earlier in the third quarter. He's only missed five. He's got a real problem. It was a fifth. Sorry, he missed a 50-yarder. But he's got a real problem this year with field goals from 40 to 49. Like, he's been pretty good past 50. That was his only miss this year, over 50 yards. But he's missed five field goals between 40 and 49 yards.
Yeah.
So that seems to be his little bit of a danger zone there. But that third quarter field goal missed by Zuerlein eventuated to, if the scores were tied until the fourth quarter expired, and Robbie Gould nails a 33-yarder. So it was a chip shot for the win.
But with Greg Zuerlein, I think he got injured from that last field goal, because I don't think he's likely to play this week. So I don't know if he's aggravated a muscle sort of strain in his legs. So
that's ended the Rams' playoff hopes.
Yeah, they're gone.
That's done. So, but you know, they still had Woods with 117 receiving yards, and Tyler Higbee.
Tyler Higbee coming out of nowhere.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
what a great pickup off the waiver wire he was.
Well, the last month, he's been on fire.
No, that's right.
Oh, the waiver wire. Yeah, boo. Yeah, should have gave him up. I could have won, maybe.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. No, you weren't winning. Yeah, you weren't winning that.
He's your keeper. You told me.
I couldn't trust Noah Fant.
He's your keeper for next year.
Yeah, true.
You couldn't trust Noah Fant.
No, couldn't trust him. You could trust Higbee. Jimmy G getting hit 8 times and sacked 6 times, like that exactly hurt through for 2 interceptions.
That's
like
exactly what I was about to say. Are the Niners looking, look, they've had a great season, but are they looking a little bit sketchy coming into the playoffs? Because I didn't really like, yes, they got the win, but I didn't really like Jimmy G's game, the way he was playing. Like, it just,
that's been his season. You know, his signature win this year was the 48-46 win over the Saints. So, you know, that sort of proved to everybody that he could get the job done in a big game, in a playoff sort of setting on the road.
Mm-hmm.
That game probably shouldn't have been as close as what it should have been. But the problem with that game was, you know, the ever reliable San Francisco defense, which has just been terrorizing everybody this year, couldn't get a hold on Goff at all. 0 sacks.
Yep.
Could not get a hold of him. So
Nick Bosa got no tackles and no sacks.
That
whole game.
That can't happen. Like that honestly just can't happen.
He hit the quarterback twice, there was no sacks or no tackles. That's all that Nick Bosa did in that game, which is ridiculous, actually.
That can't really happen. So I know, yeah, and they like to say it's a long season. Ooh, big 17-week season. Like those poor NFL players. I know it's a car wreck every time that stuff happens. But you know what I mean? They go on. It's a brutal sport. But it's 16 games. Injuries happen.
Looks like George Kittle's coming. This last month, he's been playing really well. So that's sort of good for them, at least.
That is good. Yeah, that's Jimmy G's safety blanket. You know, Kittle is turning into the new age Gronk.
Yeah.
That you can just rely on him.
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah.
I think he really is turning into the new age. You can rely on him
for everything.
Yeah.
So, and that's terrific for San Francisco to be able to have a receiver there like that can be
mm-hmm.
that reliable and is extremely difficult to tackle.
Literally.
That's right.
Look at that Saints game.
That's right. He had four players hanging off him. It was ridiculous. And this one was swinging off his face mask.
It looked like,
oh my God.
And there's no way. We didn't want to say this last time. There was no way this was racist at all. But it looked like there was monkeys.
That's right. It hanging off him. Off a tree. He was just a big old oak. And yeah, he had three monkeys hanging off him.
And he carried him for like 10, 15
hours. Nobody could pull him down.
No. Yeah, that was their game-winning drive in that game. But
well, that's right.
That was it. That was still, to me, the game of the year.
It was just, that's that mean, so take that game. How you want, but that's exactly how it looked. He was just a big old tree.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and he had large gorillas trying to hang off him, and they just couldn't
Even down. If there was white people in that, I still would have said
wouldn't monkeys. Have mattered. That's exactly
there
what it looked
monkeys
like.
Hanging off
that's
him.
Exactly what it looked like. It was just, it was unbelievable. I thought the Texans made the win against Tampa look hard.
Look hard, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
especially when,
yeah.
Once again, you know, turnover king, James Winston, first pass, interception. Still, as you do.
Still.
Three in the first half, four overall.
Yeah.
He's got... Oh.
Yeah, still busts out 335 yards. No, I know what you mean.
My
you can't,
God,
you can't
he's
be,
so reckless.
You can't be a quarterback and...
But you that's can't, you can't like we said last week, you can't be a quarterback in this age where accuracy is a premium.
Yeah.
You can't be throwing it all over the place. It's all that's terrific. He hasn't got a whole lot to throw to at the moment either. Like he's doing well.
Well, that's
you
right.
You can't throw four interceptions.
That's right. He had his two biggest weapons out, and that's why I found it very surprising that Houston took so long to get to win that game. Because he had no weapons to throw to.
And the problem is the only reason that Houston, well, not the only reason, but, you know, one of the reasons why Houston got the win is they had a block field goal. Like, yeah. What happens if that field goal's over? That game could go to overtime. I know it changes the whole complexity of the game and everything like that, but that game could go to overtime. Houston are struggling lately.
Well, that's right.
They're struggling.
Aren't they the weirdest... Like they're 10-5, which is still outstanding, but aren't they the weirdest?
They are struggling.
The weirdest 10-5 team that this year, as in like they're too inconsistent. Win loss, win loss, win loss. They're too way too inconsistent. Yeah, we gotta do that later.
That was that can of Coke.
They'll win the AFC. There's never a can of Coke. they'll win the AFC division.
It's got cola in it,
but. They're too...
They're making stuff look hard.
They're making it look real hard. Really hard.
Their rushing attack, like, as a total, 26 times they had that. Yeah, they rushed for 68 yards.
Yeah.
Like that. And I wouldn't have thought that Tampa would have had the greatest rushing defense in the world. But, yeah, boy, they're making it look hard. They need to break out there. Come playoffs, they need to break out of this funk real quick. Otherwise, they'll get bounced early as well.
I guess the last game we've sort of moved on. I wasn't really going to touch on them, but just the Chiefs sort of beating the Bears. Mainly, not so much the game, but just because that's now 5 in a row for them. So, and Patrick Mahomes is coming good at the right time. So
Quietly just chugging along.
Yes, everybody's talking about the Ravens and they have a great season. Yes, the Mars had a great season, but I would not be resting on the Chiefs at all.
Oh, no. Like, well, they could just come up and just snatch it. Who's to say that the AFC Championship game isn't going to be Baltimore and Kansas City?
No, that's right.
Who's to say?
I mean, it'd be awesome that the Pats don't make it in that AFC Championship. I'd love to see that.
Won enough.
I'd love to see Mahomes come up against Lamar Jackson. That would be such a good game.
That would be one crazy game.
So moving on to some news, we'll start with the Seahawks since,
Beast Mode.
Yeah.
Beast Mode is back in Seattle. So they've signed Marshawn Lynch. I'm not sure, sort of what you thought about the signing since he hasn't played essentially all year, but. You know, he had a pretty ordinary team an ordinary run with the Raiders last year. But it would be interesting to see, you know, like we said before, you know, he's super depleted. The Seahawks are super depleted in their running back stocks at the moment. So, you know, Chris Carson's gone for the season with that hip injury. You know, Rashad Penny is done for the season. So to get Marshawn Lynch back, I guess, is essentially a plug and play type running back that he could just come straight back into the offense and be effective.
Will he be effective?
That'll be the thing. That'll be where the Seahawks are going to have to go to Plan B if he plays. Well, I can only assume he's going to play next week. What happens?
It's going to have to, I think.
What happens if he's ineffective? What do they do? So that'll be interesting to see what. He's 33. Look, it's not as if he's over the hill, but at least he hasn't taken. At least he hasn't taken the beating this year. So you'd think the body should be nice and fresh.
And he must. He obviously must be keeping super fit. Clearly,
yeah. It's an SOS, and that would be the only team that he would answer an SOS call for.
Well, he did. He came out and said that. Yeah, that'll be the only team that if he has to come back and play, he'll play. For
that'd be them.
So, which would be
well, Terrell Suggs said that last week that you know if there's only one team that I'm signing with, and that's Baltimore, and then he ends up getting picked up by Kansas City. So. That can obviously change, but yeah, a different kettle of fish, but that's
well then no, there's a kettle of fish. Like imagine if like the Pat throw out an SOS to the two big Gronk. Well,
they need him.
They do need him.
They need him.
I don't think he'll.
A bunch of number two receivers on that team. Boy, how much do they need Antonio Brown right now?
Well, there was some news.
Only he wasn't a Muppet. That's all.
Yeah, he's a Muppet. I mean, that's pretty much it. His, I think he's actually the only news that could have come out about him that sort of piped up when I read it was that he's having family domestic disputes. His father wants him to play again, and
of course he does. That's a mean, but he's got to be able to show an attitude where he can come into a team and just be a team player.
So and I think they're holding off anyway, but with Antonio Brown,
no one's going to pick him up this year. Someone will be desperate enough to pick him up next year.
No. Yeah, there's three teams that want to pick him up, but they will not do anything until these allegations.
Until these cases that,
well, that the NFL have like done all their investigations, yeah, which they haven't yet.
That's fair enough.
They are taking their time, and why wouldn't you? So my thing is, if he, someone will pick him up. I guarantee someone will pick him up next year. But they'll wait till the off season. He'll probably get six games or something too. So you've got to factor that in.
Well, it's almost a Kareem Hunt situation where you pick him up. You know, Kareem Hunt had ten. They have eight or ten game suspension, so you're just going to have to sit him there, and then when he comes back, it's going to be okay. Show us what you got.
But yeah, who's just going to have that in your team? Please not the Cowboys. He'd only probably go to a contender, you'd think.
Well, that's the thing. I've even heard rumors that the Saints would even look at him because. Yeah, they've only that's their big problem. They've only got one. They've only got an essential number one receiver. And the best receiver. I don't give a crap what anybody says. And he's the best receiver in the league.
Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Oh, easily.
Like there's not even a debate for me that he's the best receiver in the league.
I don't think anybody is saying any different. I'd be surprised if they are.
And if they added somebody like Antonio Brown, it's just like whoa.
I suppose if any team could sort of. Well, I thought. Well, I can't. Sorry, I'll start again.
It'd be monetary issues that the Saints would have to try and sign him. Whether they'd be able to sign him for a minimal. Let's not forget. I'm got a funny feeling that Dez Bryant is still on the books at the Saints.
Really?
I don't think they let him go. I'm not 100% sure. Like, yeah, quote me on that. But don't forget he the Saints signed Dez Bryant and then he ruptured his Achilles.
Yeah.
So yeah, but that's what I mean. They're trying.
Speaking of Saints, like yeah, they might need a receiver, but Jared Cook's been playing pretty good.
Man,
he's a tight end, I know, but he's been playing really good this year.
Drew Brees loves his tight ends.
Well,
He made Jimmy Graham, and he made a lot of money off being a really good receiver for the Saints, and he declined. When he got to Seattle, and he's not even a factor at the Packers.
Oh, no way.
At all.
No.
Okay.
He's had a couple of bright spots.
Father Time may have caught up with him, but, obviously his prime was with, a crazy accurate quarterback in Drew Brees.
Yeah. With the other news I sort of stood out to me was, like, the AJ Green thing. It looks like he has played his last game, most likely, at the Bengals. Because purely because it's not so much because this is up to his contract as well. So it's he knows it's probably going to be his final contract, so he's going to want some money. I don't think the Bengals are going to put up that kind of money, you would think.
Maybe.
So, if they do, they're going to have to get a decent quarterback if he's going to, well, we don't even know how he's going to come back, but currently the Bengals own $60 million in projected cap space for 2020, so.
Bengals are going shopping.
I don't know what
they're going to be able to pick up, but yeah, the Bengals are going to be on shopping.
I think it'll all stem from who their number one pick is.
True.
Like you get the number one pick, and then the players will follow, possibly, but that doesn't always mean the case.
You wouldn't think Cincinnati would be a very desired free agent destination, they're going to have to make their deals with trades and the draft.
The heyday of AJ Green and Andy Dalton, it was. They were like the team, but. I mean, that's way past now, obviously.
Well, that's it. You know, I mean, you had dudes like Vontaze Burfict who just couldn't help himself but get freaking suspended for everything, whether it was misconduct or, you know, violating team rules or just poleaxing people. You know, just, you know. that's what he does. That's what he does.
Was there any other news you want to move on before you finish on studs and duds?
No, just... For Pittsburgh's hopes to make the playoffs, I think sort of may have gone up in smoke a little bit. You know that Marquise Pouncey has hurt. Not that
smoke.
Not that sort of smoke.
Oh, okay.
This is why we can't be in the same room doing this shit.
Different type of smoke.
Stop it. Stop it. They had some pretty hefty injuries against the Jets. They lost Mason Rudolph, which is not really, you know, a bad thing. Well, they lost Mason Rudolph.
I can't remember who I was watching. I was watching something and then someone in our fantasy group chat just was like yelling in capital letters, why the hell is Mason Rudolph playing?
I think that was Shane. Shane. He's killing me. Yeah. Mason Rudolph, you're killing me. I remember that. Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry, Shane. That's what Mason Rudolph does. Sorry, man. That's just what he does. He kills people for a living. He's a contract killer. James Conner, thigh injury, possibly done. I said Marquise Pouncey as well had a left knee injury. So they've got three pretty key guys on the offensive side. That's going to hurt or got hurt against the Jets.
I think I remember Juju's got, like, he'll be coming in with an injury
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, and he didn't. Yeah. I don't think he played last week, so no. they're going to be real tough for them to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Are they playing Baltimore?
They are.
I'm pretty sure they're playing Baltimore.
Quickly have a look. Hurry up.
Oh, how good's the internet? Holding up progress here.
They are playing Baltimore.
And they are playing Baltimore. So, I was right. So that's not good for their playoff chances.
No, that's... Although...
Depends on if...
RG3 is confirmed starter.
So he is. So they confirmed. Are going to... Yeah, so if they rest Lamar Jackson, then that's their only chance.
Well, they've confirmed. They confirmed RG3 is playing this
that's
week.
Their only chance.
So, but...
That's their only chance. And even with those guys out, if Juju doesn't play, you know, Hodges got yanked against the Jets after he went 7 of 9. Technically, it should have been 9 of 9 because the two passes that he didn't complete were two interceptions.
Yeah.
So he was 9 for 9. He just, two completions were to the wrong team. So they ditched him. Put Rudolph in. Rudolph gets hurt. Then they have to go back to Devlin Hodges again. So it just I can't see it happening.
The just looking at that game, I guess quickly. The I'm just looking at the rushing yards this year. Their leaders for each team. So Connor's the leader with 116 carries and 464 yards.
Oof.
And only 60 more carries. But Lamar Jackson's the leader clearly with 1,200 yards. That is ridiculous. Good God. Quarterback.
Good God.
Oh, my God.
What sort of alien are we seeing there in Baltimore? Holy moly. It's just totally changing the game. It's like Giannis. It's like Giannis Antetokounmpo. They call him, some people are calling him an alien the way that he plays. Lamar Jackson.
And Luka. There's certain players that are changing the way the game is. Well, look at
talents don't just come around. That's the thing. You've got to play to your talent level as well. Like it's that's the diff. That's the differential.
But yeah, you're. I think like the NBA, the NFL are shifting towards that kind of game. Like the NBA is shifting towards, like you said, bulk scoring, 3 points,
fast possessions. No, the more possessions you get, the more opportunities you have to score.
Don't have a well. Not say don't have a true center, but like and you know the starting five could be. No player, you know what I mean? Like, no player could be over 6'9". Right. Like, it's like, yeah.
Players that can guard multiple positions where they mm-hmm. can't, you know, the pick and roll game doesn't become as crucial. Anyway, that's for an NBA pod next week.
I thought it was pretty clear for my start of the week. It was, I thought it was pretty cut and dry that it was Saquon Barkley. I mean.
Yeah, and he was definitely.
He hasn't been, you know, I guess it was against the Redskins, but. I mean, he's been injured. He's hasn't had the greatest season, but yeah. You know, to get 189 yards, he looked ridiculous.
67 of them come in one play.
But also then to pick up those four catches for 90 yards.
So, that's right. And yeah, so he was a threat. That, so. He was a threat both ways.
I thought it was pretty. Yeah, it's doing what everybody. Everybody wanted Saquon to do this year, so
yeah, it just sucks that he was hurt. Mm. Yeah, well, then yeah, and then there's yeah that happens. Yeah, that happens. So, for me, I thought it was the guy that pretty much helped fuel Green Bay to their win over the Vikings, and that was Devontae Adams. Yeah. Both. You know, Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones. You know, he had 23 for 154 mm-hmm. on the ground. Two TDs. You know, Devontae Adams had 13 for 116 as well. You know, that was he's gone. Aaron Rodgers didn't have the greatest game.
Didn't have a bad game. Efficient. He only threw one interception.
He was efficient and he got what needed to be done. But I think the guy that fueled that win was Jones. With the way that he got the done. The other thing was too that like Minnesota were just oh my god, Minnesota had 7 first downs in that whole game.
And I thought, yeah.
Man.
That we probably should have touched on that game, but I thought with that game I thought
pooped the bed.
Well, it was Cousins that pooped the bed. I thought you know, it's like he's a kind of guy that seems like when he's up against it, he just shits the bed.
Well, that's the big thing. He's supposedly 0-8. 0-8 in prime time.
Yeah,
He hasn't got the. He's never won on. Yeah, he's never won in prime time. He's never won a Monday night. Mm. So that's sort of you know a terrific segue into my dud of the week. So all the talk about him. Can he get that done? And you know, can he get his? And they look great for the first quarter and a half.
Mm-hmm.
They look really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just got overpowered. And what didn't help them either was you know no Dalvin Cook. You know, they're on their second string running back as well, Minnesota. But, you know, they got all their receivers back. Adam Thielen was back.
Yeah.
So they...
Stephon Diggs was there.
Stephon Diggs was yeah. unbelievable again. Adam Thielen again.
Did not get a catch that game.
No, but he's there. He's back from that hamstring injury. Like, he missed for 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Right. Weeks but they had a full complement of receivers.
That's Kirk Cousins. That's not... Yeah, so... That was just dud of the week, was it?
He's my dud. Yeah, as much as it is easy to pick on him and go, oh, well, he's never won anything in prime time. In that regard, the stats don't lie for the teams that he's played on. Like, it's just unfortunate. Yeah, the nighttime, yeah, he likes to play during the day. Nighttime games, I don't know what it is. Artificial light, he might not like. He could be, you know, I don't know, maybe.
Some people don't. Some people don't like artificial light. I know it sounds weird, but some players don't like playing at nighttime. But I guess with Cousins, I thought going into that game, I had the Vikings. I picked the Vikings. They were looking good. They would have been 11-4. They were coming into form, but
they had everything to play for.
But yeah, Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams, I guess, for that team finally stood up because they haven't done it all year. Well, Jones has, but not Devontae Adams, so.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Wow. That's a nice little segue to finish it
off. Yeah, no, that was terrific. So I don't know who you thought your dud of the week was. So yeah, so we're in
it was an easy segue.
I think so. Like, just, you know, I almost had Gardner Minshew. Like, you know, as much as I love Minshew mania, but he was just just god awful against Atlanta.
Jaguars. I just don't. They're like
They've been a surprise bad poo-poo team this year
for me. You reckon?
I think so.
I think they're a pretty poo-poo side anyway.
I didn't think they were going to be this bad. Because lately, like the last, 4 weeks or whatever, they've just been getting blown out. Like, they're not even making the games competitive. Like, that's...
They're 5-10, so they're another team, I think. Well, I think they need a quarterback. I mean, that's...
I don't think so. I think, you know, they've got Nick Foles there. They're obviously trying to put their eggs in the Nick Foles basket. But, you know, Minshew proved at the start of the year that, you know, he can sort of get things done. But once again, it just comes down to protection. And for them, I think it comes down to receivers as well.
Yeah, true. Because you've got Leonard Fournette still playing well there.
Yeah, he's had a better season than we did last year. Leonard Fournette sort of had a fairly big reputation coming out of LSU that he was going to be a dominant running back, and last year he was... But this year has been a much better season for Leonard Fournette. So, you know, they've sort of got their linchpin running back there. I don't think they need to do much at quarterback. Yeah, they need that little bit of protection because, you know, look what happened to Nick Foles in the very first game. Hit... Yep. Gone, clavicle, thanks for coming.
Hit gone, clavicle, thanks for coming.
Yeah, 10 weeks later, I'll come back. Like, just...
We may as well finish on then the NCAA games. Just a quick, like, who do you think will win? LSU versus Oklahoma.
Oh, LSU will blow Oklahoma out of the water.
And what about... I think the other one's Clemson.
No, it's Clemson and Ohio State.
I am a massive... I like Clemson.
Ohio State... Like, Clemson hasn't really played a whole lot of good teams this year. The ACC is just rotten. And that's not their fault. Some people thought that Clemson shouldn't have even got in.
No, but that's... You're right, so, but that's on the back of that. That Trevor Lawrence, I'm telling you now,
he's regressed. Like, he was unbelievable last year. I reckon. I think he's
regressed a little bit, but I reckon he'll come in. He'll win that, and I bet you he'll be there again.
Well,
I just think he's too. I don't know. I love. He's got a cannon of an arm.
Oh yeah, no, he's unbelievable.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
He's unbelievable.
I think he's not eligible next year for the draft.
No, he's still got one more. He's still got one more year. So, this is only his second year.
He's 19.
Yeah.
So
he's another guy with a big head. No, that's really bad to say, but yeah, like Mason Rudolph, he's got a really, really, really.
Yeah,
big
but
head.
He's got anyway. Hair that covers it too, so it doesn't look that.
Yeah, bad. it doesn't look that bad. But when they get real close ups of him, you're like, whoa!
He looks like a surfer. He does. He does not look like he belongs on a football field.
No, that's true. Yeah, no, that's true. He's got his nice little bandana as well. Yeah, of course he does. That's kind of cool. No, I think Ohio State will win that.
I mean, I'm still so shocked. They'll have a lot of draft people go, but very shocked Alabama wasn't there in the semis. But
nah, I don't think they're going to make it. As soon as they lost, I didn't think they were going to make. As soon as they lost to LSU, I think the backup's name is Matt Jones. I think he's the backup there now, and they didn't look terrible in the Iron Bowl.
No,
against Auburn, but them losing to Auburn as well, that sealed their fate. They were never getting in losing the Iron Bowl.
No. It just wasn't happening. No, you're right. But it's just funny. We've talked about draft picks all night, but of all the drafts, four receivers from them will go in the first round.
That's how good their receiving stock is.
Well, and that's the, so that, that's sort of been a totally different... What's been a totally different MO than what Alabama has had in previous. Yes, they do have good offensive players there, but their linchpin has always been defensively.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Nick Saban. Especially, you know, over the last, even if it's 5 or 6 years, like, that's been them. They will just ruin you to take away. They do what, you know, what Belichick does. They'll just take away what you do well offensively, and then, you know, then this is the first time that they've had, like, Jalen Hurts has been lighting it up at Oklahoma, but this wasn't the Jalen Hurts that was playing at Alabama.
No.
So it was a little bit different in that sort of regard. So for Jalen Hurts to be in the conversation for the Heisman as well is not so much an indictment on Nick Saban and what he could have done, but yeah, for what he's actually done in Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's right.
So. It's Joe Burrow's to lose the Heisman. Like, it's always going to be a quarterback.
He's locked it up.
I think so. Like, you know, LSU had a terrific season, you know, capped off because that was their only hurdle was beating Alabama, and they haven't been able to do it recently.
Yeah.
And then for them to get over the Alabama hump, I think they'll win the national championship.
Okay.
Doesn't matter who they play. I think they'll win it.
I think it'll be LSU, Clemson. I think it'll be close, but it'll be interesting. Very well. It'll be very interesting to watch.
Well, that's right. You know, and then coming into sort of draft season, and if we want to do that over the next couple of weeks, you know, a little bit of a teaser, we'll sort of go through.
Mock draft.
Well, we could go. That's what we could go through. We could go through. Yeah, we don't have to go. Yeah, through
we're not going to go through the 50 top players.
No, that's right. You know, we could be Mel Kiper Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, we could go through McShay's and Mel Kiper's sort of, top 10 or 15 sort of picks and, you know, maybe try and marry them up to teams that, you know, do or don't need those kind of players. So,
yeah.
By next week, we'll probably know who's going, you know, what the draft order will be.
Yeah.
So, you know, we could run through
something. Google Chase Young. And just watch him just go to work. That guy is a beast.
Animal.
He's an absolute animal.
He's an animal.
He moves so quick off the line. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, that's the thing. What's Ohio State doing with the defensive backs as well? That's when Nick Bosa was as well. And have a look at how many quarterbacks he swallowed up this year. he's eating them. Not this week, but he's just eating quarterbacks up for lunch. And still hungry for more. Yeah, Ohio State. Yeah, they recently they know how to get their defensive backs to be nice and high in the draft at the moment.
I guess that'll do it for this week's podcast. Live from one room.
That's right. Live from the Townsville Studios here.
Townsville Studios.
It's, I wish that air conditioner was working a bit better.
Yeah. It got hot in here real quick, but
it's getting hot in here.
That's a totally different podcast.
That's another podcast.
That's a podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials. it's got real hot now. Facebook.
It's steaming hot.
Facebook, SoundCloud, and Twitter at The Final Play Pod.
All right, good evening, everybody. I hope everybody had a very merry and festive Christmas. We'll have one more before the new year.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be NBA, and our next podcast will be coming to you live from 2020.
I thought you were going to say Townsville Studios again.
It could be from the Townsville Studios.
You might have to fly me up for that one.
Nah, it's not going to happen. I've got freaking fly points, but I'm wasting them on that.
we don't need to waste them on that. Have a good NFL week, everyone. My name's Jason.
Yes, my name's Miles. Have a lovely weekend, everybody, and enjoy week 17 of the NFL, last week of the regular season.
Peace.
See ya.